Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Hope you are doing well, staying safe, and being healthy out there. Now, on this episode of the podcast, we are going to be speaking with the great Mark Zuckerman. He covers the Washington Nationals. He's a beat writer for the Washington Nationals for MASNSports.com. Why are we talking the Nationals? Well, when you look at the Nationals, when you look across baseball, right now is the time to assess. Are we going to roll the dice? Are we going to go for it? Or are we kind of break it down and try to build for the future, right? Before the season, I wouldn't even say a couple months ago, because the Giants have started and never stopped. They never took their foot off the accelerator. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, I would have told you that, well, the Giants are going to have a tough decision to make. Who do they end up moving for some future pieces? Kevin Gausman was going to be one of those guys. Discofani, I mean, that signing to me, it looked like, yeah, they're going to try to flip him for some prospects or for something not too far away or something that can make an impact in a different position category. Now, things have changed, and now I can't even tell you what the Giants are going to do. But even more so, when you look at the Washington Nationals, it gets even more confusing because as of right now, the San Francisco Giants, their best record in all of baseball, right? The Washington Nationals, up until, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they were looking like sellers. But now, you come into it, they go on a 14-15-3 run to close out the month of June. Started off July a little rough because they have the West Coast trip. They were in L.A., got swept. Then they played San Diego, and then they have San Francisco. That is a grueling, grueling road trip, if you ask me. And that's to close out the first half, to close out, go into the All-Star game. And by the way, is anybody excited? Just sidebar real quick. Anybody excited about the All-Star game? Do people get excited about that? I mean, I am excited for the Home Run Derby. Which, by the way, Juan Soto, I'm going to talk to Mark about that a little bit. When Juan Soto gets the draw, how lucky is this guy? Goes into the Home Run Derby and draws Shohei Ohtani. I might put some money down on Juan Soto. I'm just saying. Everyone loves Shohei Ohtani. But don't sleep on Juan Soto now. But The Washington Nationals, they're a very interesting team because prior to this final week leading up, I mean, they looked like they were going to be sellers, like I said. Now, with that run, and we've seen this before. We've seen it in 2019 where they were, what, 19-31? It did not look good at the 50-game mark. 19-31. Did not look good. What would they go on to do a couple of months later? Go on to win the World Series. So they go on another run like that. It's not as impressive, obviously, but a 14-15-3 run to kind of go into July, it makes things a little difficult. Because like I said, they were looking like sellers. Now could they possibly be buyers? Because, I mean, Kyle Schwarber, I'm sure teams would love to have him. I know he's battling a hamstring. And we'll talk with Mark Zuckerman of MASNSports.com to find out what is going on with Kyle Schwarber a little bit. I mean, he has that hamstring. Hamstrings are always tough to come back from. But I'm sure people would have liked him. Possibly even a John Lester. I know a lot of people have inquired on Max Scherzer possibly joining a rotation. But now that they're only four games back of the Mets, they're well within striking distance. And that's kind of where you have to assess, though. You have to look at the rest of your division. Okay, are we better than the Braves? Are we better than the Mets? Because let's face it, I mean, the battle out west with the Padres, Giants, and Dodgers. Right now, I mean, if it keeps pace, no other team. The way the ticket in to the playoffs is through your division. So you have to look at your division. And I think that's something that the Nationals are going to have to do. So we have all these questions. It's going to be a hell of a last couple of weeks in July leading up to the trade deadline for the Nationals. But to help us kind of get through it and talk about what we have to look forward to, we're going to speak with Mark Zuckerman again, beat writer for the Washington Nationals for MASNSports.com. Coming up next, you are listening to Passion for the Pastime Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Passion for the Pastime, and Walter here, your host. Now we're going to dive into the Washington Nationals because they are a very interesting team going down the stretch. They finished out the month of June really strong, had a little bit of a rough patch on their West Coast road trip, but we're going to talk about the Nationals here coming up. They're coming to San Francisco. Go ahead and check out those games at Oracle Park. Going to love that series there, but we're speaking with Nationals beat writer Mark Zuckerman for MASN Sports and a co-host for Nats Chat Podcast. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm good. It's a nice, lovely afternoon right now in the Bay Area. I'm like 45 minutes east of San Francisco, and we're gonna get into triple digits over here. So, trying to stay cool as I can.
I would take that right now because as we're taping this, the tropical storm is coming through the East Coast. So I will take dry heat over humid tropical air and rain and thunder and all that. Right, we're getting right now.
Oh man, are you safe right now, Mark?
Oh yeah. No, we're fine. We're fine. These are the remnants. We're well inland. Nothing to worry about here.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good to know that you're safe right now as we're recording the podcast. And we were kind of talking before we started recording, before I hit the record button. But you're not yet traveling with the team yet. How are you dealing with having to cover the team, not actually being where they are, especially on the West Coast?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I haven't traveled since the World Series in 2019, or I guess in spring training in 2020. And, it's not the same, obviously. Just like the broadcasters are trying to call the games off monitors, you're trying to write about games just watching it off the TV screen, which isn't ideal. We get the manager and some players over Zoom, but now they've started allowing on-field access to interview players before the game. You're missing out on some stuff for that. And just all those little things that you normally would pick up being there in person that you just aren't seeing right now. So there's that aspect of it. And then, of course, when the team is on the West Coast and you're still on the East Coast, these games are starting about 10 p.m. So I've been up pretty late, drinking a lot of caffeine, trying to stay awake and cover these games that are, in some cases, haven't been ending until 1:30, 1:45 in the morning. But, hey, you know what? It's still a privilege to be able to do this for a living, and I'm enjoying it. And the Nationals have kept it interesting by playing really well here lately.
Yeah, that's one of the most intriguing things about the Nationals. You mentioned the 2019 World Series was the last time that you were on the road with the team. Kind of getting a little bit of that vibe as they closed out June of this year. They went on, 14-3 run to close out the month. That is extraordinary right now. They find themselves right back in the thick of it. I mean, are we expecting to see another historic run for these Nationals down the stretch?
Well, it's funny because people are sort of trying to decide, do we go all in on this and say, hey, it's 2019 all over again? Or do we have to be careful not to buy into that narrative? Because what they did in 2019 was truly remarkable, to go from 19-31 all the way to winning the World Series. And you can't just count that happening all the time. But there are some similarities. I mean, there absolutely are some similarities between what they did that year and what they're starting to do this year. The difference is their rough start this year, they were healthy for the most part, aside from a couple of guys. In 2019, their lineup was decimated by injury. So they knew they were going to get them back. And they also knew that their bullpen, which was a mess that year, was going to get fixed at the trade deadline, and it was with Daniel Hudson in particular. Now, this year, it's been a little bit different path. They were healthy early on, just not scoring runs with any consistency. Now, they are actually injured. They lost Kyle Schwarber, who was their player of the month in June. They've had a bunch of injuries in their pitching staff, although they're starting to get back now. So it's a little bit of a different vibe, but I think for those who were here back then, it is something in the back of your mind that you can sort of like take some comfort in and know, hey, even when they got off to a bad start again this year, I think there were 9 games under .500 was their low point. They said, okay, we've been here before. It's not the end of the world. We don't have to panic. Stick with the program. Stay confident. Stay loose, and it can turn around. And they've still got a long way to go, but they've certainly put themselves back in the mix now as they approach the All-Star.
Well, you know, it's really funny, Mark, and we're talking with Mark Zuckerman, beat writer for the Nationals for MASNSports.com. And you know what, Mark? It's interesting because you have more recently have tasted success, right, in 2019. Now, the San Francisco Giants, we're kind of falling in that same boat to where 2010, you know, we were led by the pitching staff, and that's kind of what's going on right now. That kind of came out of nowhere. Expectations were low. Now we're trying not to fall under that same umbrella as like, oh, well, they did it in 2010, and this is the kind of feeling the same way. So you have to always take it into account, you know, it's different circumstances, different seasons, but you can't help as, you know, following the team, being a fan of the team, you can't help but get excited. And I think that's what you want moving down the stretch, especially in the summer months. I mean, you just want a chance to compete, right? And that's what the Nationals are doing. They have All-Stars. All-Star Weekend is coming up. Who do they have? They have Kyle Schwarber, Juan Soto, and Trey Turner getting in for the first time. Who in your mind has impressed you the most out of those three All-Stars?
Well, they're all kind of had a different path there. I mean, Schwarber got off to a terrible start, and people were questioning whether that was a smart signing by them or not. And then he just went on one of the greatest three-week power surges anybody's ever seen. I mean, it truly was remarkable. It was, I've lost track of the number now. I think it was 14 homers in 17 games. So, I mean, just a remarkable stretch for him. And then he blows out his hamstring rounding first base, and all of a sudden it comes to abrupt halt. So, unfortunately, he's not going to be able to play Tuesday night in Denver. He'll be there. He's going to be part of the festivities, but not get to play. And they're just hoping that he's not out for too long. I mean, it is a significant strain, so it may be a while. But they are hoping that he comes back later this summer and can pick up where he left off. Now, Trey Turner has been consistent, really, for several years now. He's one of the best, not just shortstops in baseball, but one of the best all-around players. He does it all. Hits for average, hits for power. He runs as well as anybody, and he's become a really good defensive shortstop as well. And I know it's a premium position, and there's a lot of star power there with Tatis and Lindor. Brandon Crawford, obviously, is one who's been doing it for a long time. But Trey Turner deserves to be in the conversation with any of them for what he's done. And I think people are now starting to get a sense of just how good of a player he is. And then Juan Soto, you know, if you ask a Nationals fan, they'd say they're surprised that this is the year he makes the All-Star team for the first time, because it's been his worst season. Right. He was phenomenal in 19 and out of this world in 2020. Now this year, it's a strange season because he's not hitting for any power, at least not by his standard. He's still getting on base at a 400 clip. He's still hitting the ball incredibly hard, but it's just everything's been into the ground. And so he doesn't have the power numbers you'd expect. Now he's started to hit a few home runs in recent days. And it's going to be in the home run derby, and a lot of people are wondering if this might actually help him. You know, sometimes you worry that the derby is going to ruin a guy's swing. Well, for someone who's really trying to elevate the ball more consistently, maybe that's going to flip the switch for him. So we'll see. I have no idea if it'll work out for him or not. But there's no question that he is one of the elite young talents in the game. And I'm glad to see him on this stage. He is a star. He has tons of personality, and it's going to be good for him and for the Nationals and for baseball for him to be in both the home run derby and the All-Star game.
Yeah, Juan Soto announcing that he's going to be in the home run derby. People got excited, but did you see the draw that he gets in the first round? He gets to go against Shohei Ohtani. What are his chances going into it, Mark?
That's an unfortunate matchup. You know, now I guess they do it because, you know, they rank him based on how many homers you get this year. And Ohtani obviously beats the majors. Soto, as I just said, hasn't been hitting homers at his usual clip, so it's 1 versus 8. That's a tough challenge. But I will say this. If anybody just assumes that Ohtani's going to win, I'd be careful. Juan Soto knows how to turn it on when he needs to. He loves the spotlight. He's going to have a lot of fun with this. And the power numbers during the season may be low, but you watch him during batting practice and he's hitting the ball all over the place. So that's essentially what this is. And he's not going to be facing curveballs in the home run derby. I would hope not. So obviously Ohtani is favored just because of what an incredible show he's put on this year. But don't sell Soto short. It would not shock me if he made it really competitive and maybe even advance past the first round.
Yeah, I mean, Coors Field, Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, home run derby. Yeah, I'm glued to the TV set all afternoon, all night. You know it, but it's gonna be fun to see Juan Soto in there. Was hoping that we would get Vlad Jr. in there. Hopeful of Acuna, but I think we still have a good lineup. Who is it? Matt Olson also is in there. Trevor Story, obviously he's from Colorado, so that'll be fun just to perform in front of the home fans, possibly before he's traded. I mean, who knows what goes on there, but another shortstop in the mix. Trey Turner, has Trey Turner priced himself out of Washington, Mark? Is that what you're kind of feeling right now, especially with this All-Star nod that he gets this year?
Well, everyone here is hoping not. They've already seen this team lose Anthony Rendon to free agency, Bryce Harper to free agency, and now Turner is 2 years away, and then Soto is going to be a couple years behind him. And at some point, this team needs to show that it can retain its top players. Now, they've retained Steven Strasburg a couple times, and you can say, hey, he was a World Series MVP. That was great, but he's been hurt for the most part ever since, and now he's got 5 years left on that contract. And that's frustrating a lot of people, and it does make you wonder if the ownership is going to want to commit to long-term deals to other guys. But Turner, for what he does as a leader of the team, a shortstop who does it all, like I was saying, it's really tempting to want to try to lock him up. And I think he's agreeable to it. He's not a Scott Boras client. Obviously he wants what he's owed and what he deserves to get. But I also think he's the type who might just be happy where he is and not feel like he has to hit the open market and, squeeze every last penny out of whoever he ends up signing with. So there's going to be pressure on them this winter, especially before he hits his walk year, to try to get something done. I don't know if it'll happen or not. He may have to accept deferred money, which is something that the Nationals ownership has made most of their players do if they want long-term deals. So we'll see. But, man, it's tough to think about them losing Turner on top of having lost Rendon and Harper. And then maybe Soto after that. Like I said, one of these days they do need to lock up one of their own players because their farm system has not produced star players in a few years now. They had a great run there, but they are in a lull right now, and they actually rank as one of the worst farm systems in the majors.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine that lineup with Harper, Soto, Trey Turner, and Rendon? I mean, that would be amazing. That would be amazing if they were able to retain all of them. Obviously, it's not realistic, but one of these guys has to stay. I mean, Trey Turner, Juan Soto, hopefully both of them. I mean, for national fans' sake, we'll have to see what happens there. You mentioned Steven Strasburg, Mark, and what is the status of Strasburg? When can we expect him to return to the mound? What's been going on with him?
It's been frustrating for everyone, Walter. Had the great 2019, stayed durable, healthy all year, ends up winning World Series MVP, comes in feeling good about himself the next year. And then, in the short season, he made two starts and was having problems with his wrist. They found out that it was carpal tunnel syndrome, so he had surgery, and it basically knocked him out for the year. He comes back again this year, feeling strong and healthy again. And then when he's been on the mound, you can see it's just not the same stuff. He was throwing 90, 91. His mechanics were off. He was kind of fiddling around with his shoulder and his neck a lot. So they diagnosed him with a neck injury, nerve irritation in there, gave him a lot of treatment, been really working on fine-tuning his mechanics because he thinks the mechanics actually lead to the issues. So he's been throwing off a mound. They've been taking it slow. They want to make sure that when he comes back, he is legitimately good to go and 100% again. So he'll need to go face some hitters here at some point. It's hard to put a timetable on it, but you would hope that he's maybe a few weeks away from returning. But, I mean, they need him, obviously. They've invested a whole lot in him. This team, when they are doing what they're supposed to do, it's because they have an elite rotation with Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin. Scherzer's held up his part of the bargain. He's still elite at age 37. Strasburg has been hurt. Corbin has been healthy but ineffective. And that's a whole other issue, too, because he's signed long-term as well. So, you know, they've stayed in the race thanks to their lineup, thanks to their bullpen. But ultimately, if this team's going to win like they did in 2019, it's behind a great rotation. And Strasburg's going to have to be a part of that.
We're speaking with Mark Zuckerman, beat writer for the Nationals for MASN Sports. Mark, before we let you go here, I got to ask you, because, you know, prior to the end of June, it was looking very bleak for the Nationals, but now they're right in the thick of the race. We've kind of already talked about it, four games back of the Mets. And by the way, thank you for the dismantling of the Padres yesterday. That was amazing. I love that. but you know, moving forward, are they expected to be buyers or sellers, or are they just kind of just glide in there? Like, what is the expectation as we get closer to the deadline at the end of the month?
Yeah, it keeps changing like every week. There was a point that you thought they're definitely going to be sellers. Then they get hot. Okay, they're all in. They're going to buy. Then they get swept by the Dodgers. You're saying, well, maybe not. So it's really just going to go down to the wire. And where are they and how are they in relation to the Mets? Now, this is a tough stretch they're in to close the first half. It was Mets, Rays, Dodgers, Padres, Giants. Close up the first half. That's a tough stretch. If they're able to tread water, and they've played 500 through this stretch, which I think is fine, they can tread water, get to the All-Star break right at or right below 500. I think they're going to be in good shape. Schedule eases up a lot. They're getting healthier. I think then you can make the case for them to be buyers for the deadline. Now, I mean, I'd love to see them go get a big bat, maybe a third base or second base. I just don't know that they have the prospects to do it, or that they're going to add the payroll that would take for like a Chris Bryant, who a lot of people would love to see here. So if not that, it might be more, you know, role players, somebody who can play multiple positions, probably another reliever. But as long as they're, you know, within striking distance of the Mets, I don't think the Mets are going to run away with this. The Braves have underachieved. They're still in the mix. The Phillies, I don't really buy into them with their pitching staff. So I think this thing's going to go down to the wire. I think they can contend, and it may only take, you know, 87, 88 wins to take the NL East. Now, the catch here and the difference from 2019 is that if all three of your teams out west keep doing this, that's all the wild card spots. So the Nationals' only hope is to win the East, and that's it. So that's where they're helped out by the fact that the Mets have not gone on a run and that you may not even need to win 90 games to win the East. But if they're thinking wild card, unless one of those three teams out there suddenly collapses, that's not going to happen.
Great stuff, Mark. I really appreciate you coming on, man. And, yeah, it's going to be a very intriguing watch to see what happens because so many teams are on the bubble right now, especially, you know, in that with the Nationals, with the Mets right there not running away with it yet. There's still the opportunity for the Nationals to come away with that division. And they're within striking distance at the moment. Hopefully they're able to do that. But, All-Star Weekend, it's coming up, and you have a lot of guys going out there. I mean, Schwarber won't be playing in the game, but you got Juan Soto in the Home Run Derby, as we spoke, and Trey Turner out there. But also in the Futures game, I just wanted to get your input on Cade Cavalli, who's going for the Nationals. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he's been a real huge pleasant surprise for them. I mean, he was their first-round pick last year. It was late in the first round, I think. 22nd, came out of Oklahoma. He is a flamethrower. He's got the big body. He's exactly what you want in a power right-hander. And his timeline has been sped up. I mean, he started at high A ball and just dominated. So they already moved him up to double A. He's had a little bit more struggles there, especially with walks. But he's someone as a college pitcher who throws that hard and on a team that does not have a lot of top prospects, as I was saying earlier. He is very much on their radar. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but he could certainly be in the mix next year as a young, at that point, probably 22-year-old to debut. You know, long way to go still, but we'll see how he does on that big stage of the Futures game. But he is a name to watch. He might be the next great National starting pitcher.
All right, you heard it there. Great stuff, Mark. I really appreciate you taking the time, and you take care and be safe out there, man.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And again, that was Mark Zuckerman, beat writer for the Washington Nationals for MASNSports.com. Go ahead and give him a follow on Twitter at Mark Zuckerman to get all of your up-to-date needs on the Washington Nationals, because as things get closer to the trade deadline, day-to-day, week-to-week, I mean, we don't even know at the end of this conversation what's going to happen with the Washington Nationals. So make sure you follow Mark Zuckerman, because he's going to keep you up-to-date as far as, are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? Because that's kind of the time frame that we're in right now as we get closer. We're about 2.5-3 weeks away from the trade deadline. Some teams are still actually trying to figure it out, and the Nationals happen to be one of those teams. So with a lot of things coming up, with the All-Star break coming up, it's kind of time to reassess which way they want to go, but they have to come out of the gate, like Mark was saying, they have to come out of the gate guns blazing and start winning some ball games to see whether they're going to be buyers or potential sellers. And a lot of teams are like that. So next week, we're going to be diving into the Minnesota Twins. We're going to go on the AL side, where the Twins this year have really underperformed. And we're going to speak with Dan Hayes, beat writer for The Athletic for the Minnesota Twins. We're going to talk to him a little bit on what the Twins could possibly do at the deadline. Because, again, they're one of those teams that had high expectations coming into this season, but things just didn't work out. Are they going to break it down, or do they kind of retool for next year, kind of make this year a wash, and then they just regroup? It's going to be really interesting to see which way they go, and we're going to speak with Dan Hayes next week, possibly some Yankees talk, because again, the Yankees are also one of those teams that, are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? It's very compelling stuff as we get closer to the trade deadline. So I'm going to keep you up to date with everything. So I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. We got plenty more coming up in the coming weeks. So stay tuned and go ahead and subscribe and follow the podcast so you don't miss anything. Don't miss any content coming up. I promise you, you are not going to want to miss it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Hope you guys stay safe. Get out to the ballpark. Go watch some baseball. And I'll talk to you next time.